All right, we are starting. We are starting Parshas Bishalach over here. Parshas Bishalach starts off by Yibishalach Paro is on Velona Chamelokim Derech Eretz Plishim Kikarovu Kemalokim Peni Nachema on Berosam Melchama Veshavu Mitzrayim. It was when Paro sent out the people, sent out Bnei Yisrael Velona Chamelokim. God would not allow them. This is weird. Velona Chamelokim would not allow them to go Derech Eretz Plishim the way the Palestinians. It's not the Palestinians. It's what are the Philistines? That's what they call them, right? Kikarovu, because they are close by. Because God said, maybe the people are going to feel bad when they see the war. They're going to go back to Mitzrayim. So what's Kikarovu? It sounds like they don't want to go there because it's so karov, because it's so close. But wouldn't that be more of a reason to go there? It's the quickest way to Eretz Yisrael. That would be the best way of getting to Eretz Yisrael. I would think that that would be the easiest way of getting there. And so they say that Kikarovu is supposed to tie in with the rest of the pasuk because people will be able to go back much quicker. They have a direct path out of Mitzrayim. They have a direct path back to Mitzrayim. They'll quickly go back to Mitzrayim. They won't get lost in the Midbar. They'll know exactly which way they're supposed to go. But and the Mashal Chochmah says an awesome answer. Then I'm going to give you the much better answer. Then I'm going to give you a third answer. Fine. The first answer is like this. Mashal Chochmah says they needed time to work the tomb off. They couldn't just walk into Eretz Yisrael. Because if they would have walked into Eretz Yisrael, I mean, this is even a Gemara. The Gemara says this, that there was a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to keep them in the Midbar. Because if they would have gotten the Torah and then immediately went into Eretz Yisrael, what were they going to do if they went immediately to Eretz Yisrael? But why? Why would they sin? They wouldn't have been able to learn. They would have had to immediately start working. Nobody would have had time to learn. So who would have learned? Maybe like, okay, Shevet Levi would have learned. And they would have taught Bnei Yisrael. What would they have done otherwise? Where would they have gotten food from?
Where do they get in the Midbar?
Ah, very good. So they had the concept in the Midbar of getting the Mun and getting the Be'er of Miriam. They had all that in the Midbar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given that in Eretz Yisrael, but the whole point of going to Eretz Yisrael was not to get the Mun or to get the Be'er of Miriam. It was to taste of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, to have the physical pleasures that there are in Eretz Yisrael. But physical pleasures without the spirituality that comes with it is not going to be worth it. It's not going to be worth having. So Meshach Chama says they couldn't go straight into Eretz Yisrael. It was too close. They didn't want to go that way. So Kadosh Baruch Hu had to lead them in a roundabout way to Har Sinai first, and he thought the year would be a good start, and then in the end we know that it wasn't just a year, it ended up taking another 39 years, 40 years altogether. But that was the basic idea. The idea was supposed to go around about and not to go straight into Eretz Yisrael, so why not go through Eretz Plishim Kikarovu? It was too close.
Should have taken a year to begin with? What's the reason for that?
We don't know.
It's an 8-hour bus ride.
Kadosh Baruch Hu realized. Well, why would it take a year altogether? Kadosh Baruch Hu figured that it would take a year for them to work off the Tumah, for them to gain all the Tara that they needed, and then they'd be able to go into Eretz Yisrael in the end.
Exactly.
They had too much Tumah, therefore they needed another 39 years, and that's what the Meraglim caused. Yeah, we'll get to that by Shlach. I mean, we're going to get to that by Shlach. I'm sorry?
Wouldn't God know that?
I mean, that is 100% true. The question is through Bechira, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want in the beginning when they were going through? You know, when they were going through, he knew originally that he was going to need 40 years in the Midbar, but he told them, I only need 1 year. And then when he saw that they added on Tumah to themselves by complaining about the Mun, by complaining about the water, by doing the Meraglim, by having Korach and all those things, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I'm going to keep you out for another 39 years. The amount of Tumah that you've added on to yourself requires another 39 years of learning.
So why the way that they went,
right?
Why that
will be explained in Elam Maaseh, in Parshas Maaseh. That can't be explained now because we're too straight into it. But I will tell you a quick remez. Sam Sofer says a remez, and this happens to be awesome. Who are these Philistines? These Philistines are sophisticated people. They're civilized. They're people that had derech eretz. People who knew how to eat the right way, who knew how to do everything the right way, hold the fork in between your third finger and your thumb and everything, you know, like doing it everything perfectly. Those are the types of people that Plishtim were. You would think that we should go there first to learn Derech Eretz from them, and then we'd be able to go learn Torah. Because look at what these Jews were. These Jews were sitting in the Midbar for 40 years, at least, not for 40 years, for 86 years, working as slaves. They didn't know what a regular meal was like. There's a medrash that says, well, Moshe who took them out of Mitzrayim, he had to teach them what it was like to sit down to a meal. That they used to just peck like chickens at the food. He was just to peck at them because they were never used to having a regular meal. He had to teach them what it was like to be civilized. So you'd think that Moshe Rabbeinu would bring them to the Plishtim first, have them go through Manners Course 101 or something like that, and then after you're done with the manners and everything like that, then afterward, oh, now we can send you into Mitzrayim, now we can send you into Eretz Yisrael, now you can learn the Torah. Maybe that'll be. So why not take them to the Plishtim? Funny thing is, we don't ever do that. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, one of the craziest Gemaras you'll ever learn. Shabbos Samach Gimel Amabez. What's going on, Terry? But Shabbos Samach Gimel Amabez. Now, nobody ever recognized. It's in Shabbos. It's on Selah Gimel Amud Beis. You read through this Gemara, you don't even think twice about it. But the Chassam Sofer points it out, and you think about it, and you're like, what in the world? Rav Kana says, when I was 18, I learned through all of Shas. Now, it's unbelievable. Way to go, 18, you know. But it is Rav Kana. You know, I was 18, I learned through all of Shas. And I never knew Ein Mikra Yotzi Midei Pshuto. I never knew that you cannot take a pasuk out of its pashut pshat. I always learned it up with drush, with midrashim and stuff like that. I never knew Ein Mikra Yotzi Midei Pshuto. I never knew that there was a pashut pshat to every pasuk. I didn't know that. He's 18 years old. How in the world did he not know that? He's been through all the shas and he had no idea that there's a pashut pshat behind everything? That there's a simplistic way of learning up everything? How could it be? So, that, I mean, you read it through, you're just like, okay, whatever, Rav Kana's just talking, you know? And then you look at it and you're like, what? What is he talking about? There's another Gemara. There's a Rashi in Brachos that says, well, we refuse, Rashi in Brachos and Daf Chav Ches, says, Manu Banim Mina Hegyon. We refuse to let Banim read through proper Chumash, just regular Chumash right there. It's a regular Chumash. We don't let them read just regular Chumash. We want them to go through the Midrashim. And I mean, we get this from little kids. When you have little kids that come home, what do they show you? They show you pictures of Midrashim. They don't show you Parshat Pshat in the Pesukim. They don't learn from the Parshat the Parshat Pshat. They learn the Midrashim. What is that? Why are they learning the Midrashim? Don't you think they should learn the Chumash first? Then afterward they should learn the Midrashim? Forget about all the Midrashim. Do everything else first. It's a great question. Okay. Why do we do that? So, it's funny. Because you'd think to yourself also that, you know, if I really wanted to learn, I'd think that in order to learn, I really have to know a lot of other things. In other words, if I wanted to do Rosh Hashanah, I'd have to know all of astrology. Let me check out a lot of things in astrology, astronomy, and everything like that. Let me see how the moon's going to go. Let me see how we can do Kiddush Levana and Kiddush HaKodesh. Then after I do all that, then I'll be able to learn out the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. But not vice versa. Learn out Kiddush HaKodesh, and then as I'm doing it, check out, like, oh, what are the astronomies? What astronomers say about this? What are the astrologers? First, I should do the other stuff first, and so too with everything. Like, when I want to learn about something in the Gemara, I should say, like, well, let me see what everybody else has to say, and then I'll see what the Gemara says. Why don't we do that? So, it's funny. Shuvas HaRashba, Rivash, Raman, Yoradeh Resh Mem Vav says there's a Chirim. There is a Chirim. This is excommunication. Excommunicated from Klal Yisrael. That's not a good thing. That means that you are put up in shoals. People don't want to be with you. They're not allowed to talk to you. They're not allowed to be within Dalet Amos of you. For somebody to learn Shar Chachmos, that means scientific works, before the age of 25. I'm going to quote these guys again. The Rashba, the Rivash, and the Ramah. Shulchan Aruch.
I'm good to go.
You're good to go? He cannot learn a single thing. So those who went to Skokie or the Academy worked lucked out. You didn't have to learn anything for 25 years. You're perfectly fine. But you see something right over here, in which you have 25 years, you're not allowed to learn any Shar Chachmos. Where in the world did this theorem come from? And we obviously don't pass them like it nowadays, but how does it work? You know how, like, when you go home, you all kids like this, but I mean even us, you know? Like, you want to have dessert first, then you want to have dinner. But the fact is, we don't. Why not? Because your wife doesn't let you, or your mother doesn't let you, or whatever it is. But you really want to, right? But the fact is, dinner comes before dessert. But why? The dessert tastes so much better. Wouldn't you want to have the dessert first? But the problem is, if you eat the dessert first, what happens?
Fill up.
You're going to fill up, you're not going to be able to eat the dinner. So the problem is the exact same way. It's a crazy, crazy thing. But what ends up happening is, those things pull you, they attract you. That's the pshapian ki karofu. When you start looking at the plishim, you see what they do, and you see their pshapim, you realize that that's kind of attractive. You see what they're learning? It pulls you, it wants you to do what they're saying, it wants you to do what they're doing. And you start realizing, oh, I want to do that. So, we don't want to go through the plishdom. We don't want to do the other stuff first because it pulls you to want to do more and more of that. But you're leaving out the dinner. You're forgetting what's the ikker. You're forgetting the right thing. So instead what you do is you fill yourself up on Gemara, on Midrashim and stuff like that. And then afterward, you fit in the rest of the Chumash. And then afterward, if you need Shar Chachmos to be able to fill everything out, then you should do the Shar Chachmos. But the Shar Chachmos only come last. They should only come after you already started yourself with Chumash and everything. You think it's just a coincidence that all schools start with Hebrew subjects first, English subject second? Everybody always told me, well, but kids don't concentrate in the morning. They're not up until like 12 o'clock. They should do Hebrew subject second. It's a true statement. It is. They probably would pay more attention. But that means, what's the ikker? What's first? First is always the English subjects. That's a bad problem. That means you're going to be thinking about that more than anything else. We try to ingrain within you something to be able to put inside your head, and then we'll add on anything that you might need from the Shar Chachmos afterward. That's why they were so afraid. If somebody would learn Shar Chachmos before the age of 25, this is where the reform went off a little bit, to learn Chumash, just Pashup Shat, as it is, without learning any Midrashim whatsoever. If they start doing that, then you start thinking, well, you put your own thoughts in, your own things that you started thinking from the things that you've been learning, which are science and mathematics and everything like that. There's nothing wrong with them as long as they're Torah-based, as long as you have the Torah basis on them. But otherwise, you start thinking the wrong thing. Now, we're not going into a whole thing like, you know, if we have to brainwash them. And you have to brainwash them into thinking just learning, and then afterward you can fit everything in. But it's just a fact of life. People who grow up thinking that this is the ikker will always think that this is the ikker. It'll be very hard to knock this out. People who grow up thinking that the other way is the ikker, to be atheists, how much does it take for those people to become from? How much does it take? How many Yish rabbis does it have to take? How many times do they have to go? It's just, it's a true fact of life. The way you grow up, the way you're raised, that's what happens. So that's the difference between them. That's the pshat over here, so let's just read the pasuk. It says, Lo nachon elokim derech haaretz plishtim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't allow them to go to the plishtim, which were the civilized nation. Ki karovu, because it was too close to them being pulled after it. Pen ki amar elokim, because God said, Peni nechema am berosa mochama. Maybe the people are going to feel bad when they see the war that they have to wage against the Yetzer Hara every single day of their lives. When they learn Torah, v'shavu Mitzrayim, and they'll go back to Mitzrayim, to their ways of Mitzrayim, all the evil ways that the people of Mitzrayim did, the ways that they were at when they were in Mitzrayim. Very nice remez, a very nice remez over here. But the third one, and this is probably the most true, the reason why they didn't go here, Yonas ben Uziel says that Yignon, anybody know Yignon? How do you not know Yignon? Okay, I don't blame you. The leader of Bnei Ephraim, who led Ephraim out 30 years before the Zman, where they were supposed to leave Mitzrayim. This guy Yignon was a false prophet. He got up and said, I had a dream. Very similar to another person that we have, but I had a dream, and I feel that all the Jews should leave Mitzrayim now, today. So 30,000 people from Ephraim listened to him. 30,000 people. Now, there's a machlokas if Ephraim was alive or not. Seder Adoro says Ephraim was still alive, and Ephraim did not complain. So apparently there was something to this Yignon. They went out, and they ran outside of Mitzrayim. Now, how'd they get out? I thought there was magic protecting everybody. They say that that was one of the powers of Yignon. The Yignon had the power to be able to get out. Or, because Ephraim was a citizen of Mitzrayim, Ephraim and Menashe could leave whenever they wanted to. That's a big pella. But Ephraim and Menashe were allowed to leave. Yignon led...
say that they weren't... Even Ephraim wasn't in servitude?
According to some opinions, Ephraim and Menashe were not officially part of servitude. The Meshech Chochma gives a chiddush that Reuben and Shimon weren't part of servitude, and Levi, we know, wasn't. It comes strange, though.
It didn't start until after they died.
I'm sorry?
The servitude didn't start until after all the Shvatim died.
100%, yeah. So how was Ephraim still alive? It says after the Shvatim died. It doesn't say Ephraim and Menashe. We don't know when Ephraim and Menashe died. No. Reuben and Shimon, the Shvatim. Yeah, there was only 86 years. But regardless, either way, everybody asked that, but they say that because they were citizens, they were allowed to leave. That's a big chiddush. But everyone asked, so where did they run to? They ran to the plishtim. They went to the quickest way to Eretz Canaan, to Eretz Yisrael. They ran up to the plishtim. The plishtim came and decimated them. It's a big question. How were the plishtim able to fight them? The plishtim made a deal with Avram Avinu. Avimelech made the deal that none of their relatives were going to fight each other. So how could the plishtim do that? Say it was a mixture, according to the Radal in Reb David Luria and the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, say it's a mixture between the Mitzrayim, between the Egyptians, and the plishtim that came together. It was like mixed families that went ahead and fought all of Yignon and all of Bnei Ephraim and killed all 30,000 people, and their bones are scattered throughout the desert. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I don't want to send them through that way. Because if they go there, they're going to see the Melchama. They're going to see the war that Bnei Ephraim waged, and Bnei Ephraim, was their bones were scattered everywhere. They'll realize that, and they'll feel bad, and they're going to go back to Mitzrayim, realize, thinking to themselves, they'll never be able to fight Pelishtim. So because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't allow them to go through that way. Why'd they leave 30 years early? Doesn't that strike you as strange? Why would he leave 30 years early? That's true in a way, but why 30 years early? It's a whole thing about what their punishment was, but regardless, 30 years early was supposed to be, according to the Ramban, Ramban in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Mem. You can also check out the Kli Yakar and the Abarbanel. It's an unbelievable thing. Gullus Mitzrayim? What?
They were punished for 30 years because they were Shavu instead of Gar.
That, what do you mean by Shavu instead of Gar?
They became too entrenched in the culture of Mitzrayim.
So why 30 years? What happened with the 30? That's already the big question. So this is an unbelievable shot by the Ramban. Abarbanel says it though, and so too does the the Kli Yakar. They all say the exact same word, just in different places. What's shot? How long was the Gullus in Mitzrayim?
400
years officially from the birth of Yitzchak, right? How long were they in Mitzrayim for? 210 years, right? Ramban says you're wrong. It's 240 years. You know what happened? The Mitzrayim got them so badly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so upset at them, he added on 30 years to their gullus. So they weren't there for 210 years. Now this really messes up the Jewish calendar.
Yeah.
They weren't there for only 210 years. They were there for 240 years. They were there for an extra 30 years. Ephraim left at the right time. Yignon left at the end of 210 years. It was the end of 210. Yignon got up and told everybody, it's the end of 210 years. We're supposed to leave at this time. Guys, let's get up and go. Everybody, let's get up and go. And they heard them. And Ephraim sat there and said,